Amen. All right, Wendy, you have something?
Yes, Pastor. I'm sorry that I called in between. I thought I'd make it. I wanted to let you guys know. Rick is, his foot is doing much better. I've been treating it. It looks like the infection is gone. We still got to continue to treat it. And I tried to send pictures to Candy, but I can't get them to her. If you guys can see it, it looks much better.
Good.
The praise.
Amen. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's wait to Rick and Wendy. Closer. All right, thank you very much. All right,
recorded.
Well, recording. We'll just push the button. I have to have a memory person there to do that because I forget all the time. Okay, let's see where I get this. Starting now. Both recorders are out. All right, we're in Ephesians chapter 5 this evening, verses 8, 9, and 10. Let's read that together. Before we do, those that are listening to us by internet, give us a call or comments, 856-261-9018, or questions at vftbc.org. All right, let's read chapter 5 of Ephesians, verses 8, 9, and 10 together. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. All right, verse 8. Who's the ye referred to here? Any hands on that? Who's the ye? Ye. Is that?
Would be specifically, it was the those in the church in Ephesus at that time, but by extension, all true born-again Christians.
So these were genuine Christians, and he says ye were sometimes darkness. When did that take place? Tammy?
In the past.
Before they were saved, before they became Christians, they were in darkness, black darkness. Does everyone believe that those that are not saved, not Christian, are in darkness today?
No.
No, they don't believe they're in darkness. But God says they're in darkness, without the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Many today believe that they are in the light of the Christ consciousness. His New Age teachings.
Mm-hmm. Is that true or false?
They're absolutely false.
False.
The true light is Jesus Christ Himself.
Yes.
And they think that they are enlightened by this knowledge that they think they have, and they're not.
Yes.
They're fooled by Satan.
In verse 8 it says, "But contrary, now are ye light in the Lord." What made the change from darkness to light? And what can make the change in anybody's life?
The Lord
saved their souls. Saved their souls, brought them the light of the world, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. They got out of darkness into His light. And then, in the Lord, they can be light now. And so what do they do now they're in the light? What does God tell them to do in the last part of this verse?
And walk as children of the light, which reminds me of 1 John. It talks about if we walk in the light, verse 7, chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
And as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
So now, since we have light, since we're genuinely saved, genuine Christian believers, trusting in Christ, we're going to walk as children of light. Do all genuine Christians walk as children of light?
No.
Should they?
Yes.
How do you do that? Okay.
So you have to know what God wants us to do. So you have to know the Word of God.
That's right. You have to find it right in the Scriptures, know, and then walk. And that's a command to walk as. So not as children of darkness anymore, but walk as children of light. You have to know the Word of God and read it and study it and follow it. And then in verse number 9, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit. What is true? Genuine Christians and the Holy Spirit. What is true? Okay?
We are sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit indwells every genuine Christian.
A true born again Christian will produce fruit. Some may produce a lot, some may produce a little, but they will produce.
Mm-hmm. And the fruit of the Spirit is three things here. Goodness, What does that mean? The Holy Spirit of God is goodness. By what standard is that word goodness?
God's standard.
God's standard and God's word. The second standard, righteousness. What does that refer to? The Holy Spirit of God is in righteousness. Is there any unrighteousness for the Spirit of God?
No.
No. He's one of the members of the Trinity. What's the Trinity?
The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
One and three.
One and three. One in the
middle
of that. One in the middle of that. That's right. And then truth. Where do we find truth? Real truth. Where do you find the truth? Bill?
In the Bible.
In the Bible. It's got to be the right Bible, but it's in the Bible, isn't it? That's where truth is. Does the whole world believe that's the answer?
No.
No, they don't believe that. Tammy?
And maybe John was going to say, I don't know. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth,
the life.
No man comes unto the Father except by me.
Exactly right. Through the Spirit. Then in verse 10, proving through the Spirit is in these three things. Proving, what does that mean in that sense, that verse? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving meaning what?
To approve. To
approve, all right. Showing clearly what is acceptable to the Lord. If we walk in truth, that's what is acceptable to the Lord. If we walk in truth, that's the Spirit of God is there to acceptable. Let's read verse, that's 8, 9, and 10. Let's read verse 11, 12, and 13. You got questions, by the way, at BFT, questions at BFTPC.org, or 856-261. 901 and give us a call or comments. Let's read 11, 12, and 13 together.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light.
Why in verse number 1, what command is very clear here? A negative command.
Verse 11,
John?
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Now, what are unfruitful works of darkness? How would you define that? What does it mean to have no fellowship with it? Well, is the Roman Catholic Church, for example, a work of darkness?
Yes.
It's dark, very deep darkness. What does it mean to have no fellowship with it?
Don't join with them.
Bill, I mean, it's standing.
It's very humanistic.
Humanistic.
That's the biggest problem. They accept the ways of the world.
And what does the present Pope want to do with the Roman Catholic Church?
Unite with the unbelievers.
All right, especially Muslims. And so what does he call that joint?
Chrislam.
Chrislam.
All religions, that's right.
Not just Muslims.
That's right.
Definitely, but in the list.
Yes, right, in the list. But Chrislam, especially with the Islamic people who are killers, they're murderers, a lot of them, and it's a terrible situation. But not only do we have no fellowship with these unfruitful words, but what's the second thing that's a command, Anna? And what does it mean?
I just wanted to say where it says, have no fellowship. It seems to be in the present prohibition.
Okay, so stop having fellowship, is that it? All right, so apparently these were having fellowship. He said, stop it. Had no fellowship. But what's the second phase is very important. Yes, Tammy?
Well, speak out against their sin. Reprove them.
All right, reprove them. Do people like to be reproved?
No.
No. And if Christians reprove the failures of wickedness and darkness and unfruitful works of darkness, if Christians reprove them, do other Christians always agree with the reproof?
No.
Do they like to reprove? We've got to reprove, though. This is an obedience to the Scriptures. And nobody likes to reprove anybody. I don't like to reprove anybody, but the Scriptures is commands. And no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. And
they like to say, when we reprove them, they like to sit there and claim it. We're being legalistic and we're not having any love, and you know, they're compromisers. Mm-hmm. They don't want, you know, Don't ruffle the feathers anywhere. It's just all that one big love fest. And that's not what the Bible teaches us.
See, it's one thing having no fellowship with them, but reprove them? I mean, speak out against them. Tell the truth about them.
I mean, it's not, it could be individuals, mm-hmm. or it could be like the Roman Catholic system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be different things. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. people, but it would apply to people as well, mm-hmm. individuals.
Now, all sin and wickedness and corruption, we should, as genuine believers, Christian believers, we should have no fellowship with it. But we should reprove these things that are wicked and sinful and corrupt. If we're obedient, rather, not fellowship, but rather get out of there and reprove what's in there. Reprove it. And then in verse 12, it explains why. What's true about the shame here? What's it mean? It's a shame to do what?
Even speak of
them. Even speak of those things that are done in secret. Don't even speak about it. Get rid of them. Out of our minds. Don't utter anything about them. Reprove them and have no fellowship with them. 10, 11, 12. Let's read verse 13, 14, and 15. So, by the way, questions at the
We read through 13.
13, right? Give us a call at 856-261-9018 and tell us about these things. Verse 13, but contradiction, difference of opinion, changes the whole thing about do what? Explains reproof. How does it define reproof? Tammy?
Well, things are reproved, made manifest by the light. So the Holy Spirit within us can make manifest someone else's sin if mm-hmm. we're walking by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Made manifest by the light. In other words, if somebody's doing what's wrong in the darkness, mm-hmm. light reproves the darkness that they're living in or speaking of. And then it defines whatsoever thing that is being manifest is light. When you turn light on things, you can see very well what those things are, right? In the darkness, you can't see anything. But those that are listening to us, give us a call, a comment at 856-261-9018 or questions at BFTBC. Some of you weren't able to call and use that. I wonder if it's fixed yet or not. Pastor Dan.
Yeah, we have your cross reference to, or in 1 Corinthians 5, the second part of it. And such fornication is not as a woman's named among the Gentiles, that one shall have his father's wife, and so it's not named among the Gentiles. So this thing here, looking at this verse, this verse earlier on, as far as the same idea, same parallel idea, as far as things that aren't speak, things they're doing, things that are unspeakable for them to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, Dan. Yeah, let's read verses 14, 15, and 16. We didn't read 14 yet.
No.
14, 15, and 16 together.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Right, verse 14, wherefore? We got the but in verse 13, we got the for in verse 12, we got and in verse 11. So all these different conjunctions and pronouns and adversities and so on. Wherefore? What does wherefore usually mean? What is the significance of that word? Yes, Tang?
For this reason.
This reason, that's right. It says something before that, therefore, wherefore? In other words, in the light of this, what's before, he says, who's the one that's the he? Who's the healer? He says.
The Lord.
The Lord said. He said. What does he say? The sleepers, what are they to do?
Awake.
Now sometimes people sleep and it's hard to wake them up, but awake thou the sleepers. And what else?
Arise from the dead.
See, these are not just the sleepers, they're dead. Arise from the dead. No understanding about anything that's true and right. And what will be true if they do arise, the sleepers, awake what's going to be the result?
Christ shall give you the light.
Christ shall give thee light.
So,
yes,
question. Is this, then these people are not saved?
Well, I think it's a spiritual rise from the dead. I think it's spiritual. They could be unsaved. But all things are
reproved. Or just the one that's carnal, maybe?
That's a bit carnal. It's a shame to speak of those things that are done in secret, and then arise, wake out of the sleep of some. Are there some sleeping Christians?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are some sleeping Christians. Now, some are not even genuine Christians. They're nominal Christians, but it's entirely possible for genuine Christians that are born again and saved that are sleeping, and they should be arising and awake for truth. And rise from the dead. You know, I think it's a spiritual message that Christ should give thee light. But it could be that these people aren't even saved. It could be that they're dead in trespasses and sin, that's true. Or it could be they're just a figure of speech, and just like people that are dead and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. Did we read 15? I guess
yes.
He said yes. So what is the comment now, the command here? What are the, yes, John?
To walk circumspectly.
Okay. See, Jordan, what does circumspectly mean?
To consider things, to pay attention.
Yes. And what literally does it mean? Circumspectly.
Well, there's different words that use that, and it's like all the way around.
Right. All the way around, 360 degrees.
Like a circumference.
Circumference, right. That's right. And don't just look one way, but all around. Be sure we're seeing what's happening to us. Walk in a circumspect manner. Not as what?
Not as fools.
What is a fool? How would you define a fool? He has questions at BATBC.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. What does it mean to be a fool?
Well, the Bible says in one instance, the fool
has
said in his heart, there is no God.
That's one thing. A fool said, there is no God,
right? Yeah, Tammy.
Okay. not as fools, but as wise. Where do you get wisdom? Where does any Christian get wisdom?
God's Word.
The Word of God, Scripture. There's the wisdom. We have some wisdom on a human basis, but the wisdom from God is found in His words, the Bible itself. As wise. Did you read 16 yet?
Yes.
Yes.
What does redeeming mean?
Buying back.
Buying back, all right. The time, redeeming the time. What is the opposite of redeeming the time?
Wasting.
Wasting the time, all right. Redeeming that, in other words, don't waste it. Why should we not waste it? Why should we redeem it in verse 16? Pastor Dan.
The days are evil.
The days are evil. We can't waste a single minute. However many years we are, whether it's 5, 10, 25, 40, 50, 92, whatever the number of years, we cannot waste a minute because we don't have that much time to live. Even back in the Bible times, when we lived for thousands of years, that's a lot of time, but we've got to redeem every second of our life because it's rapidly leaving us. We don't have many days or weeks or months or years to live. Redeeming, because as Pastor Dan said, the days are evil. Did we read the next one yet or
no?
No, not yet.
Okay. Let's read 17, 18, and 19 together.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein it affects us, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
All right. Is it 18?
17.
17. There again is a wherefore. Be not unwise. What does that mean? Be not unwise. Unwise.
Well, if we're not to be unwise, then we are supposed to be wise.
Supposed to be wise, so don't be unwise. Anyway, but understanding what? What does God want us to be understanding?
What the will of the Lord is.
Where is that found?
In God's Word.
God's Word. And to understand His Word, to read His Word, to follow His Word, to ask, Lord, what does this mean, Lord? That's what he wants. The days are evil, and what the will of the Lord is very important for genuine Christians to know what his will is for our lives. Did we read 18 yet?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess you did. What is this being not drunk with wine? Got you that?
We are strictly controlled by the wine, but you need to control the Holy Spirit.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, I realize that wine is with alcohol, and to not to be drunk with it, where's excess, it's easy for everybody to not to be drunk, just to not even touch the stuff. Abstain from it. But according to this verse here, it's one thing, a little bit of alcohol with the juice, excess, but on the other hand, be filled. So let's see what Paul has to say about these things. Yes, Paul, go right ahead. That's verse 17, Paul. 17.
Right. Oh, okay. Yes,
understanding.
What
he's
saying,
don't
be foolish.
That's right. Don't be foolish. That's good, Paul. Let's wave to Paul
Gassanelli
over there. Okay,
oh,
thank you. Elaine, okay. Thank you. So, we're in, what was the verse?
18.
18, okay. Not drunk with wine, excess, but do what? Be what?
Filled
with the Spirit. Filled. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Tammy?
Letting the Holy Spirit control you.
Have the Holy Spirit control you. And not the flesh, not other people, not this wine business. I got a lot of problems with that verse 18. In other words, if you're not to be drunk with wine, maybe it's better not to touch a drop of it, in case you might get drunk with wine. See, that's a weird thing that to me. Stay away from it. Excess.
Well,
yes, Tim?
I mean, if you consider one drop of it, or a little tiny bit, even that little bit is something that you're not able to be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it seems like in order to really be filled with the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
you should abstain entirely.
Just because wine has alcohol in it, and alcohol affects the mind. Mm-hmm. You don't know how it's going to affect the mind. We've got to drink more and more. In fact, the matter is, it is said by some, whether true or not, I don't know. Once a person has begun to use alcohol, whether it's wine or other kinds of alcohol, it's to them, some of them, they can never quit. They can't stop drinking alcoholic beverages. It attacks them, it holds them. I don't know if that's true or false, but some people have said that. So it's best not even to touch the stuff, lest you become an addict. But this is a very serious business, and it's a good analogy. Not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit, controlled by God the Holy Spirit, and walk in His love. Did we read 19 yet?
Yes.
Okay. Now, how are you to speak, instead of like a drunken person in excess of wine, how are you to speak if you're a genuine Christian? In verse 19. Speak to yourselves. Yes, John.
In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
All right, things and things about the Lord,
right.
And the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. Not simply in your voice, with your voice, but in the heart. And some people do better melody in the heart than in their voice. But to the Lord. It should be to the Lord and for the Lord to glorify Him. Lord Jesus Christ is a great Savior, and we've got to glorify Him in our heart. Our heart. Did you read 20 yet?
No.
Well, let's read 20, 21, and 22 together.
giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
All right, that's, is it 19? Where are we at?
20,
okay. Giving thanks. Thanks to whom? Thanks for what? And how often? John?
For all things, always,
always
to the Father.
Always to the Father. That's hard to do sometimes, but God says it, and to make us certainly less glum, and less worried, and various other ways, but if it's that always for all things. Does that all things include bad things as well as good things? Yes, everything. Okay.
Which reminds me of a verse I was thinking on this morning in James chapter 1, where it says, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And I usually think, oh, I'm going to be in a temptation. But we're supposed to count it all joy.
Yes.
So it has to do with our thanksgiving for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like those two verses are related.
Yes. All things, good and bad, just even the bad things for us, it sounds so bad to thank you, Lord, because maybe I can learn from this mistake that I made and not do it again, something like that. All things, good and bad, and to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good a source, the one we talk to in the name of our Savior. Then in verse 21, submitting yourselves. What does submitting mean? Submitting yourselves.
Well, surrendering to another's will, I guess.
All right. If submission, is that being the boss of others? No. Now, does that mean because you're submitting that you agree with everything that you're submitting the person to? Does that mean you agree with everything that you submit to a person? What does submitting mean? What sort of sense is this term used to? We've got verse 22 in there, so we'll take that up probably next time, because according to my watch, we have just about a minute.
Right. Well, as I said before, in surrendering to another's will, as long as it doesn't go contrary to the Word of God.
Not contrary to the Word of God. That's right. Submit yourself. There it is. One to another. And we're going to stop the wise in verse 22. We'll lay it out until next time, so that'll be interesting. Okay. Any other comments before we close? We always have time for comments after an hour or six.
Yes, John. Yes, I wanted to go back to verse 20.
Right.
Giving thanks always for all things.
Yes.
1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Praise the Lord. All things give thanks.